Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 7. I read for you again these words. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Today is a day of miracles. And certainly miracles happen around us, although we may not always recognize them as such. Oh yes, when someone recovers from a difficult, even deadly illness, disease, or affliction, we may say that it's a miracle. In fact, we often pray for just such a miracle. It's a miracle when someone survives a horrific accident of some kind and walks away unscathed. Or when someone makes spectacular progress after suffering injuries of some kind. Perhaps a police officer or firefighter unable to walk because of injuries sustained on the job finally walks a few steps after months of intense therapy. And while such things are certainly miraculous, there are other miracles too, such as the birth of a child. And yet there are other miracles that we don't even think about or even think of as miracles, such as we drive from place to place. No sudden events, no problems. We simply go from one place to another and arrive safely, and we don't think anything of it. But it's no less miraculous. And so, not all miracles are as dramatic and spectacular. In fact, many ordinary things in life, as I just mentioned, are also miracles. And this day of Pentecost is a day of miracles. After all, the Holy Spirit has gathered us together in this place to witness a miracle. Maybe nothing as dramatic as that other congregation saw that day, but certainly as significant. Maybe nothing as out of the ordinary as the sound of a rushing mighty wind or something like tongues of fire appearing on someone's head or people speaking in strange languages. Nevertheless, it is a day for miracles. For the Holy Spirit has gathered us together to hear about Jesus, God in the flesh. And as we hear about Jesus, we can't help say it's a miracle. For God the Father sent his only begotten Son to offer himself as the final sacrifice for sin. Jesus was born of a virgin. He did many miracles, wonders, and signs. He was given into lawless hands and was crucified and put to death. He rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples. He ascended back into heaven and has taken his place at the right hand of the Father. It is a miracle. Not only did all of that really happen, it happened for you. Not only did you just hear the story again, but through that story, God has given you life through the Holy Spirit. You have been directed to Christ as your only Savior from sin, death, hell, and the devil, and as your only source of life. Yes, our bones, dead and dry in sin, have been raised from death and destruction to a vibrant life through the Word of God. By Jesus' death on the cross, all of our sins are forgiven. It is a miracle. Now, some of you may be wondering what any of this has to do with our text. After all, it says nothing of miracles. In fact, it doesn't seem to hardly say much at all. And yet, there is a miracle in the text. You see, when Jesus spoke the words of our text, it was during the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a feast set aside to remember and celebrate God's deliverance of His people from bondage in Egypt. Throughout the feast, the people were reminded about God's miraculous power and grace as He sustained them through their 40-year journey in the wilderness. They were reminded of the 10 miracles, which we know better as plagues, and the crossing of the Red Sea. They were reminded that God used Moses to bring forth water from a rock, and two times at that. Yes, the Israelites experienced many miracles. They needed to hear again and again what God had done for them and for their salvation. For they could not be saved by the dry dust of the Pharisees as they taught their many rules and regulations. They couldn't be saved by the parched promises of the Sadducees with the eat, drink, and be merry lifestyle. They could only be saved by the one who dies in their place, who takes upon himself the burden of their sin, who thirsts on the cross as he suffers the wrath of God for the sin of the world. So when Jesus issues the invitation, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink," he's offering the forgiveness of sins. He's offering life, eternal life. And that's the miracle. For Christ's invitation brings life to dry bones. Christ's invitation reminds us of the Samaritan woman at the well in Sychar. When Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water." Christ's invitation to drink of living water reminds us that our sins have been washed away in the waters of holy baptism. Christ's invitation to drink of living water reminds us of His invitation to take and drink His blood in the Holy Supper. And in that meal, we receive living waters, which in reality poured from His side as He died on the cross. Indeed, it is a miracle that God would become man. It's a miracle that the Creator would become a creature. And in fact, that the Creator would die for the creature. It's a miracle that Christ would issue such an invitation to sinners such as us. It's a miracle that through that invitation, the Holy Spirit creates and sustains saving faith in our hearts. Thus, every time we hear the good news about Jesus, every time we hear the saving gospel proclaimed, every time we receive absolution, every time we remember what God has done for us in our baptism, every time we commune, we witness a miracle. And yet that's not the end of God's miracles. For Christ also says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Notice, he doesn't promise just a trickle. He promises rivers of living water. As we celebrate the miracle of salvation, as we celebrate the miracle of the sending of the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of Christ's promise, we do well to consider what that means for us. For on that first Christian Pentecost, we witness the outpouring of the Spirit upon the apostles. And rivers of water came flowing forth from them as they boldly proclaimed Jesus as the Savior of the world. Indeed, rivers of water, of living water, did flow, and many were brought to faith in Jesus Christ. And what happened that day continues to happen today as well. No, I'm not talking about tongues of fire or speaking in tongues. I'm talking about the miracle that the Spirit works through the Word in us and then through us. Indeed, as we drink of Christ, we will never thirst. Our salvation is certain. And as we drink that living water over and over again, it will pour forth in our lives. Now, many people like to sing the hymn, "Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying." In the second stanza of that hymn, we sing, "If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul or Peter, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. If you cannot rouse the wicked with the judgment's dread alarms, you can lead the little children to the Savior's waiting arms." Indeed, as you and I tell others the good news about Jesus and all that God has done for us, they too will experience the miracle of Pentecost as the water of the gospel creates and sustains faith in them. Indeed, when through faith and in faith, we are bold to tell others what Jesus means to us, living waters will flow from us, and thus the Holy Spirit uses us to point others to Jesus. Indeed, our Savior Jesus Christ says to us, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That's what Jesus has promised. And that promise is fulfilled every time the gospel is proclaimed, because the Holy Spirit uses it to keep us in that one true faith. And every time it happens, it is a miracle. in Jesus' name. Amen.